Hello everyone and welcome to the Gadget 360 podcast that's called Orbital. We have with us today Royden, who was with us last week as well, and Rishi, who's our gaming expert.
So
as you might have guessed, one of our topics includes something related to gaming. So if you're interested in that, please stay tuned. But for the time being, we're going to start with a very interesting development. The government of India is basically going to mandate very soon that every smartphone that is sold in a country has to ship with a panic button. So this is going to come into effect from 1st of January next year, that is in 2017. So Royden, do you want to tell us what a panic button is?
So their definition of panic button is not, it doesn't have to be like a physical button, because that would be very difficult for manufacturers to, you know, roll out specific models just for India with like a separate button. So what they mean by a panic button is somewhere like it has to be it cannot be an app. So one of the buttons, either the power button or if you have a feature phone, it'll be one of the number buttons, like I think 5 or 9, one of them. Long pressing one of those buttons would automatically send like a distress call along with your coordinates to either a local law enforcement agency as well as your friends and relatives, so people are aware that you are in trouble and they know how to locate you. So that's the basic idea of the panic button.
That's an important point, because as of now the government hasn't made it clear which agency will be contacted, and I don't think the call is going to go to your coordinates are not going to go to your friends or relatives at the moment. That totally depends on how the smartphone manufacturer implements this SOS call.
Yeah, actually that is also true, but if you see here his tweet, he did mention that it would go to the cops and your friends, relatives. He has mentioned the tweet. So maybe there will be provision where you can alert the authorities as well as your family.
Yeah, seems a little unclear.
It's very unclear. It's just like a statement basically. There's absolutely no details on how this will actually be implemented.
Yeah, so this ties in nicely with the government's related announcement, that is, India is going to have an emergency number, which is like going to be like 911 in the US. The number is 112, which is also the number that is used in the European Union for an emergency. It seems like there will be some kind of a nodal agency where instead of dialing 100 for police, you will dial this 112 number and they'll
assess it to your nearest.
They'll assess the nature of your problem and then they'll send you to the relevant agency accordingly.
But I mean, aren't there too many questions around this right now? Because if you think about it, the government's essentially trying to replicate features that certain apps already have as a standard. So I mean, that's one point of concern at this point of time. And on top of that, we also have a situation where is it actually more convenient for you to dial a bunch of numbers when you're in a dangerous situation, or how is the implementation going to work? Are there guidelines for that?
Yeah, so the government has said that it's much faster to do it via this procedure, which is, as Royden said, long pressing either 5 or 9 or pressing the power button of your smartphone thrice in quick succession. So the government says that this process is much faster than launching an app and sending SOS alerts to people. Now, my question is that, can you accidentally do this? I think
I was going to bring that up as well. Yeah, there has to be some fail-safe. Like you give your kid a phone, your phone to play, and he accidentally long presses fire, and suddenly you have a SWAT team busting down your door. You know, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, even a lot of smartphones, especially Android, if you're the sort who likes to flash or modify the ROMs or the OS, a lot of that requires you to press the power button a certain number of times. You don't want a situation where you have the cops at your doorstep because of doing that. So it would be great if we had more clarity on how this is going to work, because it could create a lot of unnecessary complications.
Yeah, speaking of unnecessary complications, I'd just like to remind our listeners that a couple of years ago, the Delhi government had launched this distress helpline for women. It was 181. Mm-hmm. So every time, this was all in the aftermath of the horrendous Delhi gang rape incident. Yeah. So the government had taken these measures to help, to encourage women's safety. So the problem was, at that time, there was hardly any education for a lot of the callers. So there was a report in the New Indian Express which said that a lot of women called these people at the emergency helpline and asked them, oh, somebody called and said, I want to marry an actor, so can you please put me in touch with him? If you don't, then I'll commit suicide. Another person said that, which school should I get my kid admitted to? And, you know, the problem is that people didn't know what exactly an emergency helpline is. They didn't understand right. the seriousness of this thing. So they ended up making a lot of frivolous calls. But this could also happen to something like this, where you can accidentally trigger it.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
and people might not even know what is this doing. You know, so
exactly.
they might just see, okay, I just long press 5, okay, and a call is going. So let's just talk to the other person and see, find out what is happening. So this is something the government really needs to address. It definitely needs there needs to be a massive advertising campaign. Now, we don't know how this is going to happen. Is the government going to talk to manufacturers and make them advertise it along with their smartphones? Is the government going to issue their own advertising via social media and via TV and traditional mediums like radio? We have no clue about how this is going to happen. But this is something that the government should definitely address. Now, one more thing in all this talk, we've only spoken about smartphones so far. Feature phones is an important part of the Indian market.
Correct.
And the government has said that, okay, like Royden said, long pressing 5 or 9 can easily be done in a feature phone. But the government has said that from January 1, 2018, all feature phones should have a GPS unit integrated so that their location coordinates can be sent to the emergency authorities. So, Royden, how do you think this is going to affect the feature phone industry?
Well, for one, I think the really cheapo phones, which are probably not very healthy for daily use, I mean, for your regular usage, you'd probably see a lot of them just disappear from the market. So that is one good advantage. It could drive up the price a bit depending on by 2018 how much it would cost to implement a GPS chip in the phone. But I don't see it increasing the cost by a lot. However, it should filter out the unwanted or unsafe phones which are circulating the market. And people are picking it up because it's cheap, but it's not necessarily safe to use in the long run.
What do you mean by unsafe phones? If you could just explain that.
Well, most of these phones which are like unheard of brands, I'm talking about feature phones, really, really cheap ones. We don't know about their SAR values or have they gone through proper certification for, you know, health and safety. So people are using it because it's available and there is no restriction or regulation as such. So maybe having this chip, a GPS chip could hopefully get rid of these phones and, you know, sort of.
Yeah, so the price might go up a little bit, but you're saying that because there's a GPS chip in there, the quality of smartphones available in the market will...
Should, I'm hoping. I'm not necessarily it will, but yeah.
I mean, in addition to this, if you think about it, we already have something in place, which is the BIS in itself, which weeds out your not so above the table legitimate manufacturers. So yes, there is a good chance that we might just see delays in product as well, because if you notice, the standards and practices for cell phones is, and any electronic equipment coming into the country or even manufactured here, is so rigorous that even if there's a change in one capacitor, it has to go through testing again. So now what the government has essentially done is overnight has warned every manufacturer, regardless of whether they're making their product in India or outside India, that, you know, there will be a longer lead time, which also could mean we see products later than expected.
Yeah, because I'm guessing both these implementations of the emergency number and the GPS chip, the new devices would have to go through sort of a certification process again. So that could be, we could see delays in launches as well.
Yeah, an obvious question, but impact on battery life of feature phones?
It's hard to say, but I don't think there would be like a big drastic decrease in battery life as such.
Since it is only going to be using while they're dialing the emergency.
Exactly. It's not going to be active all the time. So
yeah,
I don't think that's going to make much of a difference.
Okay. So any other thoughts on the panic button?
I guess we just have to wait and see how this pans out.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So overall, do you think it's a good idea for us to have it, considering that emergency services are not exactly as efficient as they are in the US right now in India?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a step in the good direction, all provided that the infrastructure and everything also holds up to the promises. I mean, these are good ideas, but it has to be implemented for it to work.
I mean, it's a start. The way I see it, it's a start of, to me, it's just the tip of the iceberg. You're going to have this. They're eventually going to have to streamline processes across the board. And yeah, as Royden said, hopefully it's a sign of good things to come.
Yeah, all right. So that wraps up our first topic for today. The second one, as we promised right at the beginning of the show, is about gaming. And it's about Nintendo. The Nintendo announced yesterday that it's going to be bringing two very popular titles to Android and iPhone. Now, Nintendo is a company, just for the listeners who don't know, is very, very popular in Japan and in America. Am I missing any region?
Europe and India as well.
Okay.
For those of you who played Mario as a kid, Nintendo is the company that's made Mario.
Yeah. So everybody recognizes Mario. Like back in my childhood, at least, my friend had this Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, and we had a ton of fun playing Mario games in that. So Nintendo basically has no official presence in India. So, and this company has been struggling for some time, and even though it makes good consoles, it makes great games, its platform has not been doing very well. So it has, for almost forever, it has ignored smartphones, but last year, around this time, the company announced that it's going to finally be making some of its games available for smartphones. So the announcement from yesterday, it ties in very nicely with this. It says that two of its very popular games, Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing, are going to come to Android and iPhone. So Rishi, do you want to tell us about these games?
So Fire Emblem is a turn-based strategy game. It takes place in this fantasy setting where you control an army and each individual warrior in an army, and you basically duke it out in battle in a turn-based system that's somewhat like chess because it's a grid and all that, a more complex version of that. In addition to this, you can even control your warriors outside of combat, help them have relationships with other characters, and there's a very deep storyline as well. So that's one of the games. The other one is Animal Crossing, which essentially is Nintendo's equivalent of The Sims, wherein you control a character in a community, you get a house, do your job, which is essentially farming in most cases. Know everyone in your village, from the mayor to your neighbors, and essentially try leading a harmonious virtual life. These games are actually a very smart fit for mobile, because if you look at what mobile games have done well in the past, like Clash of Clans or games like Monster Strike, they're in a similar vein. So I think Nintendo's gone with the right idea, pushing these games forward, and even though we don't have Mario yet, it's a good start.
All right, but once again, we come back to the original question. Last year, around this time, I think it was during the earnings call itself, that they made the first announcement that they're going to be partnering with this company called Dina, and they're going to be making mobile games. And if I'm not mistaken, we were promised that one of these games would be arriving by the end of the year, with more to come this year, that is 2016. So far, we only have one app. It's called Miitomo. Calling it a game would take a huge stretch of, you know, like going down La La Land to actually say that, okay, this thing is a game. Rishi, can you tell us about Miitomo and why it's not really a game?
So Miitomo is, for the lack of a better term, kind of like a virtual toy / social network, where you create your virtual likeness or avatar of yourself and you interact with people in that universe. Now, the interactions aren't your usual ICQ or CUT level of ASL, or, you know, it's more to do with you asking people questions and them answering to you. And it's a very quirky format, and it works for most part because Nintendo have got over 10 million downloads, but it's not a game. And what's interesting is that it's got those 10 million downloads without having it available in key mobile markets like India or China. It's essentially US parts of Europe and Japan, and it's done considerably well. But it's not a game. It's more of a social network, or for the lack of a better term, a toy.
Yeah. So that brings us to the timing of the announcement. This was announced during the earnings call last year. And yesterday was, again, Nintendo's earnings call, in where the company's financial health is not looking very good. Once again, the company has announced that they are going to bring two very popular games. This have been known to get excited and write 1200 word opinion pieces about the same, about how this is a great thing and it's good news for everybody. But where are these games? And, you know, we don't even have a release date.
I agree, yeah, there is no release date. All they've said is fall. And I know they said the same thing last year with Miitomo, that it was going to come out in last fall.
I don't know if they announced Miitomo per se, but they had said that some game would come.
They said something would come.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't count them out, because what's going to be interesting is how they approach mobile gaming. Right now, if you look at most mobile games, they're one of the two things. They're either strewn with a lot of ads, which makes the experience horrible, or they have a lot of in-app transactions, in-app purchases, which forces you to buy and spend. But in the past, Nintendo have had a few experiments on the 3DS. They had a game called Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, where you could actually bargain with the game for the price of an in-app purchase, which is a really cool thing. So granted, they might not be able to do it in the existing app ecosystem, but it'll be interesting to see how they circumvent that and come up with something cool. So while I do see the merit in being cynical about their approach, I am still more interested in seeing what they can actually pull off, because if history has taught us one thing, you can't rule Nintendo out. The most successful console, the Wii, came on the back of the Nintendo GameCube, which, while profitable, was a distant third compared to the PS2 and original Xbox. So I can't write them out.
True. You also spoke about Clash of Clans being like a comparison to some of the games that Nintendo is going to be bringing out. That raises the question of monetization. So I like free with in-app purchases is the model we've talking about. But is there a chance that they're going to go full premium and release a paid game on the App Store? And is that approach likely to succeed?
I mean, honestly, to me, I personally, as a gamer, that'd be the best thing ever. But I won't be surprised. See, with them, they're very careful about testing the market and ensuring they get it right. So I won't be surprised if we see them. And since they've partnered with Dena, whose expertise is free to play, I don't see that happening immediately. I mean, if we draw parallels to Sega and Sega's approach to mobile, Sega started with free to play to begin with and eventually moved on to a more premium model for the West. So I think it'll be interesting times to see what they do.
Yeah. I also wonder if this is going to be a scam, almost like a money grab, like one of the Clash of Clans or Candy Crush Saga games do. Because Nintendo is under huge pressure financially to deliver right now. The announcement of the new console could help alleviate some of their financial troubles. But mobile is an opportunity that's till now Nintendo has completely ignored. So this is one place where there's a good chance that they could go overboard in trying to correct the financial troubles of the company.
Yeah, that is a possibility. But I mean, if we see again, if we go by their past, from how they've behaved in the past, I don't see that being too much of a problem, because they've always been ultra cautious. And in fact, Nintendo isn't the only console company looking to take a dip in the mobile waters. Sony has done a few things as well. In fact, it started up a separate entity in itself to explore options in mobile. So I think we're going to see a situation where it's just a matter of time before mobile essentially reaches that golden ideal of being the real second screen. But it's going to take a bit of, you know, friction for that to happen.
Yeah. So entire companies have been built in the time that Nintendo has been looking away from the whole smartphone world. Like we said, I mean, we might not like Clash of Clans or Candy Crush for the way they monetize, but these games are really good in themselves. The only problem we have is that these games don't allow you to enjoy the experience without asking you to share it with 50 people or, you know, to get in-app purchases to boost your army. So Nintendo, by looking away from all of these things that are going on, you know, is it too late for them to come to the industry right now?
That's actually a very good question. And I don't think it's a problem of them being late. It's a problem of them outrightly ignoring some of the biggest mobile markets in the world. And to me, that's the bigger problem here. I mean, let's face it, Nintendo's not available officially, but everyone knows about Mario, everyone knows about Pokemon. And you're missing out, you're just missing out. So to me, that's a bigger concern. I don't think it's a question of being late, it's a question of straight out ignoring or refusing to believe that certain markets exist. So yeah, that's a big problem.
Yeah, as Indians, that's our biggest complaint, right? Where is our official Nintendo presence?
Like, yeah.
We can't even buy a Wii U in India, even if you want to. The only way to get it is to import it from other countries.
Yep.
Rodin, do you want to say something over here?
Any games that you're excited about? Rishi has covered pretty much everything. But yeah, I think focusing on the mobile platform is one way to sort of increase the revenues. However, if they break out of that geo-locked, like they did with Miitomo, and you truly, because launching a game on the mobile, you don't have to make investments in that country to have a physical presence, right? You already have an app store that's accessible right from your phone. However, I just hope that common sense prevails, better sense prevails, and you know they don't region lock stuff and lock out countries where there is a huge base for mobile gaming.
Yeah, Miitomo is not available in India.
I mean, that's not really a game, but maybe for these two games which are coming up, at least, hopefully.
Hopefully.
It looked pretty interesting, I mean, at least from the...
Which of these two games are you most excited about?
Definitely not Animal Crossing, because I wasn't a huge fan of Sims. So the other one.
Fire Emblem.
Yeah, Fire Emblem.
Yeah, and do you think, Rishi, do you think Nintendo is being a little too cautious over here by getting these two intellectual properties on mobile first and not going with its super hits like Mario or Pokemon?
Well, I'd like to believe that it's more... See, with Pokemon, they have something in the works. I think with Niantic, they're partnering for a Pokemon AR game called Pokemon Go. I think that's what it's called.
Hmm.
But I think it's more of a question of... I look at it this way, right? They probably have a mobile version of Mario ready, deep locked within their company vaults, and they're like, with a nice big label that says, break glass in case of financial emergency. So I think we might see something in the future, but these are two good franchises to start with. And it's if you look at their IP, they can go through this, they can go through Star Fox, they can go through Zelda, they can go through Metroid, they can go through Earthbound for all we know. And that will make a lot of fans, at least in the US and Europe, very happy if they do Earthbound, which is, again, next to impossible at this stage. But my point is they have so many IP to go through before they can even consider Mario. And if I'm not mistaken, their approach is such where they want to build games for the platform and figure out the IP later. So, and if you look at current trends, yeah, it makes perfect sense to go with Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing to start with.
Why do you say so? I mean, what current trends are we talking about?
If you look at the games that have worked on mobile, if you look at the games that have seen a larger amount of retention and engagement, they've been games that have had a strategy element to it, a turn-based element to it, and perhaps even card collection. Card collection is huge in a lot of markets, Japan especially, Asia especially. It's catching on in US and Europe as well. So, and these games, these two IP, Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing, are ripe for those kind of mechanics. They're ripe for a mechanic where you can pause between game sessions. You can have a turn-based asynchronous multiplayer approach. So yeah, these are the right fit for mobile at this point in time. They're games that don't require much skill, but they require more thinking and a more deliberate approach to gameplay. So I think it's a perfect fit.
So on a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you think, what is the chance of these two games coming to India, both of you?
I would say about a 6.
-5.
No, I'm optimistic.
I'm fully expecting myself to probably, you know, create a US account and access them.
Yeah. Same here, actually. I mean, after having written a long opinion piece about this and having seen no games, I guess I should also temper my expectations.
Yep.
So that wraps up our second topic for the day as well. And it's been great talking to you both, Royden and Rishi.
See ya.
Thank you so much for joining us. That's all for you listeners. Goodbye.